Welcome to Mindful Meeting Podcast, a weekly podcast where minds meet to empower and mold the complete family. Every week, we share stories with you focused on our spiritual, financial, physical, mental, and emotional well-being and growth. And now, from the University of, well, nowhere, an expert in nothing really, but Somali tea is his specialty. Please welcome your host, King Abu.
Hello and welcome to season 2 of Mindful Meeting Podcast. I'm your host, King Abu. First, I just want to thank God Almighty for all the blessings He continues to bestow upon us. And just want to thank all of my guests from season 1. It was a fantastic season 1, and I'm excited today to start off season 2. Before we do that, I also want to thank all of our dear listeners, and thank you, and I appreciate the continued support and feedback that you guys provide us with. On that note, go ahead and check out the new look and the new design of the website. I think you'll like it because I absolutely love it. So check it out at www.mindful-meeting.com. Inshallah, which means God willing or Allah willing, I will have a great and awesome season 2. We have plenty of exciting, fascinating topics planned, including two episodes or a couple of episodes, I guess, where we get to play games and give away prizes. And we have a lot of special and awesome guests lined up. Speaking of which, let's go ahead and introduce our first awesome and amazing guest for season 2. He is no stranger to the show. You guys have already know him from before because he was in 2 episodes from season 1. His name is Pastor Mike, and he is the dad of 3 awesome boys. He's also the senior pastor of the House of the Lord Church. Pastor Mike, it's good to have you on the show.
It's great to be back. Yeah. I'm humbled, brother.
Thank you. So before we get started, I have a riddle for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. The riddle is, what relation would your mother's sister's brother-in-law be to you?
What? Say it again. What relation would your mother's
sister's brother-in-law be to you? You're not ready for that, huh?
I wasn't ready for that, huh? What relation would your mother's sister's brother-in-law?
That's right.
Brother-in-law be to you? Mm-hmm. My father.
Oh, all right. Okay. You got it. All right. Awesome. Speaking of fathers, we are here to celebrate fathers today. And Mike and I, you know, we're very proud fathers and very dedicated to our kids. But I want to pay a special tribute to Mike's dad. I know he means a lot to you and he's no longer with us. If you don't mind, if you want to take this time to make a little prayer.
Absolutely.
For your dad, for all of us, before we start the show.
I'd be honored. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this precious time together and fellowship under you, Lord. Lord God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your law. We thank you for your words that we can read each day. And we thank you that we are not alone in this world. That you, Lord, go wherever we go. You made us, Lord, in your image. And Lord, you have given us plan and purpose. The Bible says that you knew us. Before we were even born, you knit us together in the womb of our mother, Lord God. And you had all the days accounted for us, Lord, in your book. So, Lord, we just humble ourselves to you. We thank you for this precious time. May you use us. May you give us wisdom, Lord, to help others, Lord. And we thank you for the fathers that you have given us. And for me, you being the ultimate father of my life. I thank you for this precious time together with my brothers here. May you bless them and their family. Bless this show and all the people that listened in. And, Lord God, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Talk to me. Tell me something you enjoy most about being a dad.
Oh, man, it's my sons. Right? There you go. Right? I think the best thing about being dad, I think it's something as simple as hearing them say daddy.
Yeah.
You know, he would have asked me 10 years ago, right? I was freaking out about my mom. I mean, sorry, about my wife being pregnant, right? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, am I ready to be a father? And I think all of us can say no one is ever ready to be a father.
Right.
But the first time you hold that baby in your arms, man, it's like you never love something so much. Okay. I think you'd agree.
Absolutely. Right?
So I think it's the biggest honor of my life is one of the biggest honors of my life is being a dad to Braden, Hunter, and Caleb. Right. They're such great boys, and I'm so proud of them.
I'm sure. Yeah, man, it's indescribable, right? Anyway, I like the way you said it. It's the greatest honor we have. I have always shared the same sentiment, because that is like the number one priority. It's not even a job. It's more like an honor, a blessing, right?
Yeah, it's a privilege. Yeah. Right? It's like, you know, there's a different mentality we get when people say, oh, I have to be a dad. No, we get to be a dad.
We get to be a dad. I like that.
There's some people who can't have children right now and would love to have one. And I just, you know, I'm thankful to God that, you know, the Bible says that children are a gift from Him.
Indeed.
So they really are, man. Indeed. You know, and it says, you know, we just celebrated Mother's Day, right? And yeah. I was to the moms. Yeah. I think the dads can understand this too, that as a parent, the days are long, but the years are short.
Yeah.
Right? So it's, I'm trying to soak it all in, man. It's awesome.
Yeah. So you mentioned it was kind of like a scary moment. You were freaking out when you find out Helena, right, was pregnant. And talk to me to that. When you first find out that the whole pregnancy, the delivery, just walk me through that process.
Well, there's a big joke in my family saying, you know, I finally accepted being a father on my third child, right? Right? I finally got it right, you know? It's, you know, it's when you have the responsibility of another life in your hands, it's like, wow, you don't want to let them down.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when we first got pregnant, it was fun for me because I get to be a dad, but then when it sets in, you're like, whoa, what am I going to do, right? For a long time, all I had to do was take care of me, right? But now, you know, I have somebody else watching me.
Yeah.
So a whole new sense of, you know, responsibility in my life. So it's a joy to me, man. I mean, I think that's the biggest joy right now for my life is having children, man. It's awesome.
Absolutely. So, you know, in the beginning, there's this honeymoon stage, so to speak, right? We're in love with being a father and, you know, all the perks that come with it, mainly like the feeling of joy and pride and, you know, all that, that it almost feels like God gives you an opportunity. In the case that we did wrong, we messed up, God gives you another opportunity through your children to correct our own behaviors. But when that initial honeymoon stage kind of wears off, reality kicks in like, bam, right? When did that happen for you? And you're like, when was the last time I fell asleep, or I slept, right?
Yeah, and you know what? I want to tell you, I have an incredible wife, Helena, and she's not here with us, but I'm going to tell you, you know, there's always a saying behind every great man is a woman rolling her eyes, you know? It's because we look really good, but really it's them who do all the work, man. You know? They push the baby out. They nursed it. There was some times where I'd get up in the middle of the night and the baby be crying. And I'm like, what can I do? She's like, just go to sleep. I'm going to nurse him. And you feel like, man, and think about it. She did it for all three kids, minimum 11 months each kid. And so I kind of kept her pregnant for like 6 years. You know what I'm saying? Like she's, but because we have a 5, 7, and 9-year-old. Yeah, so every 2 years.
Continuous.
Yeah. It's but, but I'm telling you, Helena has made being a dad fun instead of being stressful. She's an incredible mom, man. She is awesome. She's my best friend, right? So my wife can tell you, I mean, she makes me look better as a dad because of the mother she is.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. Whew. So when did you guys plan that sleeping schedules? And
well, that's the thing. See, you know, you read the books, right? And what you notice one thing about the baby books, it doesn't apply to you, man, because every baby's different, right? You learn so a couple different things, but I will recommend one book that did help me. And I forgot the author, but it's called Show Dad How.
Show Dad How.
And it's a funny book because it has pictures and it's not what maybe women would read, but dads will love it. I recommend it. It has pictures and colors in it, right? But it did give me some heads up on what to expect so that, you know, when you come to any situation with a little bit more preparation, being prepared gets rid of the scared. That's what I said, you know, being prepared gets rid of more of the fear. And so it's when we're surprised, that's when we're like, what do we do? But if we kind of expect it, you're like, okay, here's what to do. And guys are like, you know, we don't really like to dwell on things. We like to fix things.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if you can kind of understand up front what could happen, so you're ready. Okay, this is what happened. This is what we're going to do. That really helped me. So there's a good book you can read, right? But I will tell you that there's no perfect book out there that will tell you, because every baby, wife, husband is different. Every situation is different. what you just need to do is understand that you do your best.
Absolutely.
You know, you do your best. So that's probably the biggest thing.
Show daddy how.
Show dad how.
Show dad how, guys.
Yeah, there's a book for you guys today.
You got a copy of that for you guys and read it.
That's a big tip, man. I'm telling you, that helped me. I give it to like four of my friends and they look at it and they kind of laugh like, what's this? And then, you know, a couple days later, they said, thank you, bro. This book changed my life. I said, wow. I told you. All right. So anyways, there's a tip for you.
Show dad how. All right. So Mike, we're here today because obviously it's a celebratory day. We're celebrating fathers. We're honoring fatherhood, right? And what God expects from us in terms of our obligation and responsibilities towards our kids. But it isn't the case where it's always Mary, right? Because especially in America, there are a lot of absent fathers, right? And that seems to be increasing, unfortunately. In fact, according to fatherhood.org, the stats show that 18.1 million kids, that's one out of four children, are without fathers, right? And when the father is absent from the home, it leads to a lot of problems such as teen pregnancy, drugs, alcohol, lack of education, lack of social skills, lack of confidence and self-esteem, a lot of things, even probably a disconnect between the mothers, because then when the daddy runs away from his responsibilities and dumps it on the mom. So now the mom and the son are struggling because maybe there's a lack of relatability, so to speak, right? So when you look at all these stuff, how do we address this? Where do we begin it? Where and how did we drop the ball?
There's a lot of questions right there, right?
So slowly.
Well, here's what I will say. That's absolutely right. We're living in a fatherless society.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the roots and the problems from that. There's many reasons why this has happened. You can have government, you can have different reasons why, but really this always, if you want change doesn't start. I tell people it doesn't start in the White House. It doesn't start in other people. It starts in your house.
Exactly.
And so if fathers now, if you're home right now, dads, right? The best thing you can do is think about if some people are like, well, maybe it's too late. It's never too late. Right? To do your best to be a godly father.
Absolutely.
And that's where everything starts. Staying home is a big deal than leaving.
Yeah.
That's number one. And then, when it comes to being a dad and what's happening in society right now, both boys and girls need the love of a father, need the discipline, need the example of a father.
Yeah.
And there's also there's fathers that don't have a wife with them, right? Trying to raise us. You know, and we also have a lot of mothers that don't have dads, and you see the big, how boys don't understand how to be a man, how to have courage, how to finish what they start, you know, how to, and these days we're living in times too where a lot of people, they don't want to talk about perseverance and being men of integrity, that if you say you're going to do something, to do it, and if you start something, you finish it, right? And that's something that sometimes would be hard for a woman to do that need a man, in the life. So, and that's where we go to the Word of God. How can change happen? I believe if a godly father first knows God. So change starts in the home once a man, being a father himself, decide, am I going to follow the world or am I going to follow God? And when we finally said, you know what, I'm going to submit myself under the authority of God. Well, then now you yourself put yourself on the authority of someone who's greater than you.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you respect God and you follow his ways, well, think about, it says that a great leader is first a great follower, right? And so if you follow the Lord the way you're supposed to, your kids, right, are going to see the godly example first in you. And that's why it starts in the home.
I completely agree. Now, that's exactly how I feel too. Without God, they say the family that prays together stays together, right? Mm-hmm. But do you think there is a systemic injustice or oppression towards men, or even just not any specific minorities in general, that they are trapped in a system that doesn't allow them to flourish as a man? Or is it the case where they're just being negligent and cowardly and abandoning their responsibilities?
Well, I would think that we have to understand that the minute that you start blaming other people for things that are happening to you, right? We go into a victim mentality instead of victor mentality. So that's one. That's always a bad road to go. The minute you start blaming other people for your or where you don't want to be, that's never going to get you to a solution. Now, that's number one. Number two, though, is yes, can a kid be raised in a fatherless home? Of course. Is there some great men that have come from a great mama who didn't have a father? Absolutely. But is it hard for that boy to grow up or that girl to grow up maybe different than another home that didn't that had a mother and father? Mm-hmm. Absolutely, right? There's you can already see the percentages of success through people who grew up in a home with both mother and father as opposed to just one parent, right? But again, we understand the statistics and the numbers, but we also understand that that doesn't have to be you. A statistic is not a what? Is not a truth statement about your life. So exactly. If you didn't have a father, or maybe you had a bad example as a father, you don't have to repeat those mistakes, right? And you know, you also have laws that were put in place that where it made it easier for a woman to not, you know, or for a family to not stay together. There are some laws that were in place that I don't agree with, right? That made it easier for a mother to say, well, I don't really have to stay with this man. I can just, you know, go on welfare or do something else. And yet they don't understand that it's going to hurt the children. And so I just want to say, you know, it's always worth it to fight, to stay together, to look to have a godly marriage so that you could have, you know, because the next generation is coming and your example is really going to make or break them in a big way.
Absolutely. One of the, I guess, secrets, if you will, that I discovered in life is that Satan, not only is he our arch enemy, right? But I realize he doesn't really care about our money, our wealth, our assets, our accolades, our family, or anything like that. He attacks the most precious gift in my book that God blessed us with, and that's our mind. Because once he's able to control the mind, and we can easily be beguiled and manipulated, that's when we become slaves of his. And going back to what you were saying, right? When these laws and policies are in place to destroy and break up families, that's because Satan has a grasp on our minds. We're not using our minds, right? That's how I see it.
Well, yeah, you're going to the heart of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you break up a nation? How do you destroy a nation? It starts in the home.
In the family, exactly.
And so Satan right now, there is a big attack on the home, on the family, absolutely, on the mother and father, yeah, on the marriage. If Satan could destroy a marriage, he knows he destroys the next generation.
Absolutely.
Because he knows the numbers, right? Yeah. And so you say it starts with the mind. Well, now we go into a marriage, right?
Yeah.
So what makes a great marriage? It starts with the individual, a person making a decision.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever had differences with your spouse?
Of course,
right? But why is it important to go to the Word of God and say, okay, how can we work this out, right? Because now it's not just a promise in front of God you made in marriage, but you also have a responsibility to the children that are watching you.
Absolutely.
And that's a big influence, man. I mean, when you grow up in a home where mother and father are fighting and not treating each other with love and respect, that's a big deal of why we're raising children now that are not learning how to take care of their wives because of the bad example they see from their fathers.
Absolutely.
So Satan attacks the home. He attacks the parents because he knows if he can destroy the parents, right? If he can destroy that fatherhood, that's where can Satan use laws and people and leaders to break up the home? Absolutely. And that's why as soon as we start going away from the importance of parenthood and a family system, right, this nation starts to go down.
I agree. I want to share with you some of my favorite passages from certain religions' holy scriptures, and I want to share them with you because they're absolutely some of my favorites. In the Noble Quran, right, in chapter 31, verses 13 to 14, Allah talks about the story of Luqman the wise. I don't know if this nobleman has a biblical name. I couldn't find it. But he's known as Luqman the Wise, right? And the chapter is actually named after him. So it says, Allah is narrating the story, right, of a conversation that took place between Luqman and his son. So they're just walking and he's admonishing him. And he's saying to him, oh, my son, do not associate anyone with God. For polytheism is a grave sin or wrong, right? And he's continuously telling his son that we have enjoined upon men to be dutiful to their parents. And the mother weans or nurses the child fainting upon fainting or pain upon pain, right? And then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7, I love this passage. It says, "Hear, O Israel," right? "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. So you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might," right? "And these words that I command to you today shall be on your heart." But this is where I'm getting to. "You shall teach them diligently to your children," right? That's where I was going to. "And shall talk to them when you sit in your homes or houses," right? "When you walk by the way or just going for a walk, whatever the case is, or when you lie down or when you rise." Basically, in every situation in all your existence, teach your children about the Lord and instill his love in your children, right? And finally, the third passage I want to share with you is Ephesians 6:4. It says directly to the fathers, right? It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger," right? "But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So we can tell from two beautiful religions, two different holy scriptures, right? But the message, the essence of the message is essentially the same. Loving God, worshiping him, glorifying him. But then you don't just keep that love and glorification with you. You pass it down to your children, right? So as fathers, what I gather from these verses is our main responsibility, or our first priority and responsibility as fathers, is to introduce and teach our children about God. So how does that look like for you?
Yeah, that's super important and well said. And thank you for using, right, Deuteronomy. Both those scriptures are beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote down about 10 qualities of a godly father.
Oh.
Right? And I have a list for you today, please, just in case you wanted to go over them. But one of them is, you know, number three, which means, you know, a godly father accepts responsibility for his children's spiritual training.
Mm.
You know, so many times, one of the biggest mistakes maybe dads might do is they say, well, we'll just send our kids to a private Christian school. We'll send them to church, and that's where they'll get, you know, to learn about God. And I think that's 5% of their training,
100%.
Right? I think that the best example of what it is to follow God is you, dads. Absolutely. Right? Is you. And you telling them in the mornings, you telling them at breakfast. You know, we have a great book we read for my boys. And we started reading this book during breakfast. And it's a beautiful book, right? But it's just one little page of talking about your father who loves you in heaven has a message for you.
Mm-hmm.
And warriors for God. And every day we read something, and they read it, and then it ends with a Bible verse and then a prayer.
Nice.
And as they're eating their Cheerios or eating whatever, man, they get to hear. And I say to myself, like, you know, is this really making a difference?
Mm.
But what you don't understand is that your voice is the most supreme voice they hear as little children. You don't think they're listening. They are.
They are.
They are. And so, you know, I love what you said. God has instructed us to tell them every day, to point them to God,
yeah,
to show them what it is, right? And have your children see you. You know, number four on my list is a godly father is aware of his influence on his children, right? You know, so many fathers, you know, we get caught in a do as I say, not as I do. But I want everybody to remember, especially dads here today on this Father's Day type of situation, right? So that what we do screams so loud, they can't hear a word we say. So those two qualities out of the 10 that I have for you guys here today, right, is we must understand that it's our job to show them how to pray. It's our job to show them how to open up a Bible, how to open up the Word of God, where to read, right? How to pray in the morning, during your food, at night before they go to sleep. You know, it's nice that my kids say, Dad, are you going to come pray with us before we go to sleep? I'm like, absolutely. It's a joy, right? So we are that 90, 95% godly influence in their life. And I think that if we understand that, here's a big question, dads. Then how's your walk with God? Could it be closer?
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. So
I love it. Earlier you mentioned, you know, a great leader is a great follower. One thing I like to say, which is very essentially the same thing, is a great leader is a servant, right, of those whom he is leading. So when you talked about one of the qualities of a godly dad is being aware of that his words are the most influential voice, right, or that he needs to hold himself responsible for his actions. When I come to think about parents, because I see this a lot with myself too, I'm not going to lie to you, because I am flawed. So I used to do that, right? It was about power trip in the beginning, like, you better do it. No, you don't need to know why. I said so. I'm your dad. That kind of attitude, right? But then I was reflecting on being a dad, I realized that's not coming from a place of humility. It's not. It's just coming from a place of perhaps insecurity or ego or something like that. Because our kids pay attention to our actions more than they hear, right? So I think, what I'm asking is, how do you deal with them in a more humble way and not just tell them, give them a laundry list of rules to follow, do this, do that, you know, instead of leading by example and...
Well, I think another quality, and even it's on the list here, right?
Yeah.
Is that, and by the way, when I give you this list, we all need to work on this.
Absolutely.
There's no perfect dad. There's no perfect, you know, I want to say this, right? You know, we all fall short,
yeah,
right, of God's standards. Do we not?
Absolutely.
We all fall short. So, but on one of the lists that I have here was a godly father is consistent. Has a consistent message. And so we have something that I tell that we just had it. We talked to the fathers at our church and we talked about a godly father has high standards, but also has high love. So is consistent in keeping the standards that he puts for his children, mm-hmm, but is also consistent with the level of love he gives them.
Wow.
If you grow up in a house where there's a lot of love but no standards, man, those kids, like, man, they're like your best friends, but they're running wild.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if they grow up in a house where they have high standards and no love, now they might respect you out of fear, but one day they can't wait to get out of your presence. So I believe, you know, a godly home or a godly parent, or starting with the dads, we should give our kids high standards, but with the equal what amount of high love in the process. They're gonna see from us what it is to give that manly love, that fatherly love. We should hug our children. We should kiss our children. We should tell them that we love them every day. We should tell them that we're proud of them,
yeah,
right? And I think that's a big one. And then the other one is, right, we'll talk about it here in a sense, but a godly father has selfless service.
Ooh, I love that one.
Selfless service.
Yes.
You know, where are they going to learn how to give? Where are they going to, yeah, where are they going to learn how to do something nice and be kind for someone? You see it from their dads.
Yeah.
Right? And so let us always take the time to just, you know, show them what it is to give. Show them what it is to help. Show them what it is to love other people by our actions. Show them what it is to say hi to someone, look them in the eye, shake their hand.
Yeah.
Right? And so how to hold the door. Right? Little things like that. But selfless service too for other people. They need to learn how it is to help people without, you know, getting anything in return. So
that's awesome. I love that. Selfless service. I love it. In this era where our lives are pretty much run by social media and electronics and what have you, how do we, as fathers, right? I just want to get your opinion, advice, or input on this. How do we balance that? Children having fun with their electronics and what have you, and that sports life at the same time, which is very crucial, right? And couple all of that with their spiritual growth as well. How do you navigate through all of this and find that right balance?
Yeah. Well, one thing we have to understand is that there's time for everything.
Yeah.
Right? But that goes back to our standards. Well, you have to put levels of priorities in your house. What's a priority? In our house, doesn't matter what's happening Sunday, we're going to come and praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? That's a priority. It happened with my father. He showed me what it is, right? How to put God first. In my job, you know, you always tell your boss, hey, I'm going to be your best employee, but on Sundays at this time, I just can't work because I serve at my church.
Yeah.
And I just remember that. And so again, it goes back to, you know, one of the qualities here that we put down is a godly father is not controlled by outside influences.
Mm. Wow.
Understand? So we show our children not to be influenced by alcohol, drugs, social media, right? They watch us, right? Let me ask you, if you're at dinner with your children and you're on social media, what are we telling our kids?
That it's okay to do that.
If we're with our wives and we're hanging out, but they see us not talking to mom, right? And yeah. And they see us on a just, right? And by the way, I'm guilty of it. I've done it sometimes. I'm getting right. And then, or for example, business, right? Like I run a business, right? I can be with them, but there's a difference between me being like this. Yeah, son. Yeah, son. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or me putting this phone away and say, absolutely, giving them full attention, yeah, right?
Oh, man.
And so, you know, we all played Nintendo. We all played things, right? Who remembers that, right? Who had a good time?
Exactly.
But I remember my dad said, hey, a little bit of time of fun is okay, but remember, discipline is more important than fun. Mm. Right?
I remember that. Discipline is more important than fun.
Right?
Yeah.
He says, the longer you play on the games, the more you're losing wisdom from your mind. He says, so how long do you want to sit there and lose? I'm like, oh, thanks for messing up my game, right? And so, you know, wow. I tell my kids a little bit of social media. Okay. If you're going to play some games where it might be okay, you know, you're not going to do more than an hour a day. Right. Or we're going to split it up. Okay. And my wife does a great job with this. They do a little bit of social media. And by the way, what happens is we build a team of influence around our children.
Mm.
So it's not just me. I got my mother involved. I got my in-laws involved. And I said, when they stay at your house, it's okay to be a little bit social media, but this is how much time I want on there.
Okay.
And then I want them off and I want them outside playing. Right. Okay. And then you come up with another thing that you can do, but not social media. And we need you guys to be with us with this, right. To be on the same team or else it's not going to work. Yeah. And so what we have that teamwork in the home, but we kind of extended it to teamwork in the family. Whoever we're going to leave around our children, we want them to know what our standards are. It might not be their standards, but it's ours as parents.
Yeah.
And it's not perfect, but you know what? That's, again, that goes back to if we love our children, we're also going to place priorities and standards and rules.
Absolutely. It takes a village to raise one.
It is, man. It does. Absolutely.
Well, thank you. Do you have any final messages or thoughts? Because being a dad is, you know, it's not easy. It's very difficult. Actually, yeah. Parenting in general, it's probably arguably the most difficult and challenging job in the world, because we could sit here and all day talk about that. But do you have a final message or thoughts you want to convey?
Well, you know what? It's Father's Day. I want to say this to dads that, you know, God made you such a special way. Here's what I want you to understand. To never compare yourself to other fathers.
Mm.
And to understand that every father will come and go. So the time that we have here is precious with our children to help us take more time to spend time to talk to our children. You know, I thought I would have more time with my father. And now that I don't have him, I'd give anything to have him back. He went at 62 years old. But I guess we will all have to say goodbye to our fathers.
Indeed.
Right? And some of us didn't have that chance, right? Some of us. But I want us to understand that, you know, I was reading a scripture this morning about fathers, you know, coming here today. And when we're born, we don't really know our fathers until we start growing up, right? But when they pass away, if you have a chance to talk to them, right, I think that it's important for us to understand what kind of legacy are we going to leave behind in the hearts of our children?
Ooh.
I tell my kids all the time that a man without God, right, is no man. It's actually nothing because he made us,
yeah.
Right? And so I've come up with this thing to my children. I tell them, look, that guys, if I want you to understand one thing about me is that dad is nothing without God, right?
And so I came up with this whole thing, like, trust God, right? Love people, right? Work hard, never quit, right? And I want them to see Dad max out. So I read something this morning, and I think you'll like it, right? I think you'll appreciate it. But we're all familiar with King David in the Bible,
yeah,
right? King David was known to be a man after God's own heart, right? And but there's a passage that I read right before he passed away that King Solomon, or at the time Solomon, right, got to hear from his father, and he got the last word. So if you ever go back to the last words of father, I want you to think about this. Like, what would you say to your kids, right? So I'd probably say the same thing to you that David said to Solomon before he died. And so it's found in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, okay? And it says this, I'm going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, and regulations and the laws written in the law of Moses, so that you will be successful in all that you do and wherever you go. So I looked at the Old Testament and I was like, man, and it's almost like going back to my father, it was the same thing. Right before he passed away, he told me, Mike, right? I'm excited about where I'm going. I'm like, what do you mean you're excited about where you're going? And I'm sitting there and the guy's decaying as a man because of cancer. I said, Dad, I'm so sorry this is happening. He's all, sorry, you should be excited. I'm excited because I know where I'm going.
Wow.
You see, as Christians, our hope are in Christ. The Bible says that those whose hope is in Christ, right? Right? That we are in a position where we have the promise of heaven, right? And so if you read the Bible and it says in the book of Galatians 4:6, it says, and because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. You know what Abba means, right? Mm-hmm. What does Abba mean?
Father.
Right? Well, the Aramaic way of a father is what Abba is, daddy.
Mm.
The Bible says that we can call out to God as daddy. And he's not just God, all creator, but he actually looks at us as his children, right? He loves us. So now we are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir.
Mm.
Is your father still around, King? Right?
You mean, I suppose, like living, right?
Your living father?
Yeah, he's alive.
He's alive, right?
Yeah.
I would tell you, spend as much time as you can with him. Ask questions to your father, but know that, you know, in Psalm 68:5, it says that God is the father to the fatherless and the defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy. My father's not here, but one of the promises we have as children of God is that I can pray to God as my father. I can call out to him and he will help me. And I say the same thing to all dads out there. Maybe you feel like, you know, you haven't done your best as a father, or you're doing your best. Let me tell you. Call out to God for wisdom. He will give it to you. Right? And so I would say the same thing to you that my father told me. Never, ever, ever give up. Never give up following God. Never give up loving your spouse. Never give up on your children or your family. Right? And I think that a man who stays home and does his best to be a godly father, right, is one of the unsung heroes, right, in this world. And that's what this world needs.
Indeed. Last question, Mike.
Yeah.
You already know how we close out the show.
Yeah.
What is your message to humanity?
Man, my message to humanity, right, is that you will know that God loves you. And that son, that love was demonstrated on the cross through Jesus Christ. That those who put their hope in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you are a new creation. You go from death to life, from darkness to light. In the book of John, it says that those who put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior become children of God. Can you believe that? And so I'll end by telling you just what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. At the end of the day, God wants us all to be saved. And that salvation is only found through a relationship and trust in Jesus Christ. So I tell you with all my heart, I know we're Christian. And I know my friend, right? Being Muslim, right? You're a great brother of mine.
Yes.
Right? But I always will end with the word of God, that God loves you and that love, and that he's waiting for you, right, to come to his arms through the faith, and right, through Jesus Christ.
I love it. Amen. Always end in the word of God. It's the way we do it. That's all for today, guys. Thank you for joining us. Join us next week as we bring a special guest all the way from London, and we'll be discussing about the importance of premarital counseling. Thank you so much. Until then, this is your host, King Abu, saying so long, and remember to treat each other with kindness.
Thank you for listening to Mindful Meeting Podcast. If this episode has positively affected you in any way and inspired you to continue empowering and molding the complete family, then please continue to support us by spreading the word across your social media. We'd greatly appreciate it if you leave us a review. We value your feedback. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a topic suggestion, visit our website at www.mindful-meeting.com. Oh.